Tonight, we have the beginning of our new teaching series to get you guys ready for all of the things that you may encounter this year in middle school, including Xbox controllers and cassette tapes, giant brains, which some of you think that you have. Most of you do, I guess, the same size. And then chess pieces. But really, here's the thing. We are going to talk about some of the most pressing issues which you are probably going to be encountering in your daily life when it comes to dealing with people at school and being the kind of person God has called and created you to be. So tonight, Chandler's going to come. He's going to share a message that's been on his heart. And I want you guys to listen really closely because I know that there's a lot of value in this message that you can take home tonight and start applying in your life this week. So Chandler, come on up. Thanks for being here tonight. Really appreciate it.
If you had one thing to say to the middle schoolers tonight, if you had one thing to tell them, out of all of your 6 years here at CSM, if you had one thing that was so important, so essential, so necessary that just had to be said, what would you tell them? That's what Pastor Scott and Pastor Izzy asked me earlier this summer. And through some prayer and some devotion, I came, the topic of godly friendship and how necessary it is kind of came to me. When I think about friendship, I have this one guy, his name is Grant Johansson, and Grant and I go way back. Grant's my friend. Grant and I are tight. We talk almost every day. We've been through thick and thin. But one story kind of defines Grant and I's friendship. One time, Grant and I were exploring the woods behind my house. We have about 15 acres, and we were just walking the woods and having a good time. And we came on this one trail, and this one trail had this ditch that we had to cross. And you say, "Oh, a ditch? You know, that's nothing, right?" But it was about 6 feet deep. Taller than me at the time, and the bottom of it didn't have this nice, clear running water. You certainly couldn't drink it. It had this green, stagnant, like muck that was just there, and it was filled with sticks and twigs. And one time I thought I saw a weird mutated frog, but I guess that's another story. Anyway, Grant and I came to this ditch, and years ago I had placed an old wooden board on it, and this wooden board by this time was covered in moss and slime and green nasty stuff, and it was rotten, but, going along with the old quote that fortune favors the brave, I said, I'll cross it first. I'll show Grant how it's done. I'll cross it. And so I get up there to the bank of the ditch, and the board's there. And so I take my first step, and it holds. I say, "Oh, okay, I got this." I take my next one, and I take my next one, and then I get to the bank, and I breathe a sigh of relief. I was done. I was dry. No mutated frog attacked me. Everything was good. But then Grant was kind of hanging back, and he wasn't. A little bit unsure of himself. I said, "No, Grant, come on, you got it, man. I mean, look, it held me. If it can hold me, it can hold you." And so Grant gets on it, and Grant takes his first step, and it kind of wobbles a little bit more. And he goes, tightrope style, and he takes his second step. And when he goes to take his third step, he takes it, but the board cracks. and splinters go everywhere. Grant's doing this number, you know, kind of slow motion falling, and I'm on this side of the bank, and I'm looking at him like this, and out of instinct, I grab, you know, reach out my hand, and I grab his hand like this, and I grab him, and I yank him up like this, and Grant and I both fall on the bank, you know, kind of breathing heavy, letting our nerves calm down, breathing a sigh of relief, and I told Grant, I said, Grant, I just saved your life. You could have died right there, and he said, thank you, Chandler. And anyway, it felt just a little bit like this. Now you laugh, but it seriously felt like that. I don't know how they got the photographers and the videographers up there, but they got it, and that's exactly what it felt like. It was intense. I'm pretty sure I pulled a muscle. But I tell you that story, and I show you that clip, not because I want to be like Batman, but because it drives the point home of friendship and how with Grant, you know, Grant could have got seriously hurt or injured when he fell in the ditch, but I was there, and I grabbed him, and I helped him up. So friendship is essential. Tonight, we're going to be in Ecclesiastes 4, specifically Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 11. And the author of Ecclesiastes, who we think is King Solomon, uses this really funny word, this Hebrew word that's called Hevel. And this Hevel, this weird, funny word, Hevel, is used to describe nothing. I thought it was pretty funny that a word was used to describe nothing. It doesn't make much sense. But the word Hevel means to chase after nothing, to chase after the wind. If you've ever tried chasing after the wind, you know that it cannot be, you know, attained. You can't grab it. It's like if you're driving, you know, on a foggy morning and your car goes through the fog, you can't grab the fog. I mean, it's just not there. You can't grab anything out of it. And the author in that text uses phrases like money, possessions, fame, everything under the sun is Hevel. So whatever, you know, everything on earth is Hevel. So everything is meaningless, everything is nothing. But then, you know, kind of to put that in our 21st century terms, I think of Xbox, you know. Xbox is Havel. I really hate to break that to y'all, but it is. that's I was about to say that. In 10 years, your Xbox is going to be split up and broken and under 20 tons of trash in the local landfill. Another thing I think of is being the best on your basketball or football team at school. That's awesome and all, but let's fast forward 50 years. In 50 years, your hands are going to be aching with arthritis. You won't be able to move. And then let's add another 20 years and you're dead. You're done. You're in your coffin. You're disintegrating. And lastly, like mentioned before, Fortnite is Havel. That was the best example of Havel that I could think of. Because think about this. Everything that you're doing on Fortnite is in this cloud and this virtual world that's really not even tangible. It's not even physical. You can't grab onto it. In 10 years, there'll be a new game, and you'll forget about your new skins and everything in Fortnite, and it doesn't really matter how many victory royales you get. I hate to break that to y'all. But out of all of that, the author mentions all of this Havel and all this meaningless. But he comes back to one central thing in 4, 9 through 12 and says, hey, look what's not meaningless. Friendship is not meaningless. Just like when Grant was falling to his death, I was there to help him. So obviously it was worth something. It was full of meaning, and it has meaning in a meaningless world, since everything under the sun is Havel. Romans 14:19 says, "So then we pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another." The last part, the building up of one another, is the friendship part. And so the Lord ordains friendship, and it's friendship is meant to honor him. We were built for community as humans, and we were built to share life together. And with that said, would you pray with me now to bless this time of worship? Dear Lord, I want to come to you tonight and just thank you for the opportunity that you've given me to stand up here in front of these guys and girls. I just want to ask you to bless this time. Give me the words to say and those listening the ears to hear it and to apply it. And let everything that we do tonight and the rest of our lives bring glory to your name. Amen. If you would turn with me in Ecclesiastes 4. So that's Old Testament. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12. I think we've got it on the screen. Oh, sooner or later. But follow along with me in Ecclesiastes 4. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. If you look again to verse 9, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. And if you're following along in the student guide, you can go ahead and fill in encouragement. Godly friendship should offer encouragement. Friendship surrounded around the goal of worshiping the Lord should offer encouragement, should bring encouragement to us. When I think about encouragement, I think about one summer years ago when I worked in the local greenhouses. And if you've ever stepped inside a greenhouse, you know how hot it is. Greenhouses are incredibly hot. And anyway, part of my job, I would go in there for 4 or 5 hours at a time, and I would be bent over like this, weeding the plants and watering the plants and taking care of them. Since it was just me and the plants in there, I may or may not have sang to them occasionally. You know, it's supposed to help them grow. But besides that, I would be in there sweating and just working hard, and I'd be in there all alone. Nobody would come by or anything for hours, but eventually, a few of my coworkers and who happened to be my friends would come in, and they just pop their head through the door sometimes and say, "Hey, man, you okay? You know, you need some water? You getting it done? What can I help you with?" And oftentimes they'd come alongside me along the long rows that seemed to stretch for miles of plants. And they'd come alongside me and they'd help me weed the plants or, you know, give them water or repot them, replant them and everything. And just their presence was encouraging. They would come by and just check on me, you know. No, they didn't do anything lavish. They didn't give me a smoothie, although that would have been great. But they just came beside me and said, "Hey, look, let me help you with this, you know." And they kind of lived life with me right there in that moment. Another way that I think of encouragement and how this kind of goes together and how when two are working together, the reward is better than one. I think about Campbell and I. Campbell's my brother, if y'all don't know. And Campbell and I at the house, I got the short end of the stick, but, you know, we'll have dinner or something, and I'll be tasked with cleaning the dishes and wiping off the old nasty smelly food and, you know, watering them or using the water to clean them off. And then I'll put them into the dishwasher and then I'll put them up and, you know, start them to go. And then I'm done. That's my part of it. That's my part of the whole entire doing the dishes. And then Campbell comes along and his job is once they finish washing and drying, all he's got to do is put them up in the cabinets. So As you can see, I got the short end of the stick with that one, but I'm not angry. It's no. But working together, it is encouraging. You know, you can only go on so long by yourself. When you have two people to either come beside you and help you with the plants, or you've got somebody like Campbell who's doing the other part of the dishes, it's really, really encouraging. But with this passage of the two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil, you kind of take a step back, and along with it comes this warning. There's an old quote that says, you're the average of the five people that you surround yourself with. You're the average of your closest five friends, the closest five people who you allow to speak in your life and who you live life with. So the question is, who is that? You know, are those people that surround you encouraging? You know, when you leave hanging out with them, do you come home feeling like, oh man, I just not good enough, or I really want to be like, Joe or something. I really want to be this way, and you never really feel encouraged, and you always feel kind of beat down and everything. And even outside of that, the question is, you have friends, so you're possibly one of the five for someone else. Are you encouraging, or are you simply discouraging? You know, you're always beating down on somebody, always getting after them. Which are you? And from that, like Campbell and I working on the dishes together, or my coworker helping me with the plants, as encouragement should be, from encouragement comes safety. If you're following along in the student guide, you can fill out safety. Godly friendship should offer safety. Friendship centered around the goal of glorifying the Lord's name should bring about safety. It should be a safe environment. If you look in verse 11 and 12, again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. I want to read that first part again in 11. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And when I think about this, I knew that this verse was talking. I knew exactly, this verse made me think of one really influential moment of my life, and one thing that I like to do is I like to hike. But one particular moment, I really feared for my toes, I'm getting there. But I was going hiking with a group of friends, and we had prepared for 1 inch of snow. It was in the winter. It was cold. We were in West Virginia. We had prepared for 1 inch of snow. 1 inch is about this big, you know, at the max. And so that night, I had packed an Eno, which is a hammock. You know, you think cold hammock, not the best idea. I don't know why I brought my hammock. But anyway, I said, you know what? It's fine. It's 1 inch of snow. I'm not going to freeze to death. You know, I've got my jackets, I've got three or four layers on, I've got two pairs of socks on, I'm wearing my boots in my hammock. You know, everything's fine. It's going to be fine. So I go to bed, and then the next morning, I wake up to 5 inches of snow. And 5 inches is about this big or so. You know, that's a lot different than this big, as you can see. And so when I wake up, you know, I kind of have to, you know, get it out of my face and everything, and I've got my toboggan on, and I kind of fall out of the hammock, shaking because I'm so cold, and I notice that my friends are already building a fire, and I was like, oh man, praise the Lord for that. And so I go to walk, and I'm like, oh, what is wrong? Oh, something's up. And I knew that as soon as I stepped out, something was up with my toes. And I was like, what? You know, and so I go over there to where they have the fire, and by this time they've got it, you know, kind of roaring, and I go to take off my boots, And so when I get, my hands are shaking, and I'm trying to loosen the knot on my boots, and it's frozen. You know, it's so wet that it's frozen, and so I'm kind of ripping it apart and kind of breaking it. And then I take off my socks, and the first sock, I had two pairs of socks on, and the first sock was flaking with ice because it was frozen. And then I go to the second one, and I pull it off too. And when I pull off both pairs of my socks, my toes are like this, and they're kind of, you know, shaking like this, and they're not how they're supposed to be. They're all wrinkled, like you've been in water for too long, you know, and they're kind of bluish. They've got this weird bluish tint on them, a little bit of purple in there, and they're white, just white, solid white, snow white. And I knew, I was like, man, this is frostbite. I'm literally going to lose my toes right now. I feared for that. But my friends, they had the fire going. They had it roaring. They were already, you know, getting their stuff straight. And because of my friends, I didn't lose my toes. They had the fire going. And I say all this to say that we were created for community. Imagine if I was out there alone, you know, and if I went out there and I didn't have anybody to help me make a fire, and my toes would probably fall off because they would have been so cold if I would have stayed that way for another day or so. Coming back to the analogy of being, you know, cold and all, if we're talking in terms of spiritual warmth, I was kind of warm over here in my Eno. I was kind of warm, and I was alone. And you can be that way spiritually too. You know, you can kind of have it together. You can be doing well on your own, and you can be kind of warm. But over here, you know, if you've got a group of friends who are encouraging each other, and they're surrounding each other all the time, and they're being there, their spiritual body heat, you know, is keeping everybody warm, and it works together in kind of a strength in numbers way. So the thing is, you can only stay this way for so long. Otherwise, you're going to freeze to death, you know? You can't be a lone wolf over here, and you can't take life on out in the cold of the world by yourself. But the encouraging thing is if you're like, man, well, I don't have anybody like that. I don't have any friends who are, you know, sticking out for me and making fires for my cold toes. The encouraging thing is that Journey Group and places like Lyft and Tonight are designed to foster that, to have the people of the same mind, and that's awesome. That's awesome. But with that said, John 10:10 kind of offers a little bit of a warning. You know, if you take a step back from this, John 10:10 states, "The thief, Satan, comes only to steal and kill and destroy, and I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." So from that, we see that Satan is out to get us. So think about this. You're over here, you're cold and alone, and you're a lot more vulnerable when you're by yourself. I mean, your parents always tell you, you know, don't go anywhere by yourself. But if you're over here, you know, sharing life with your friends, it's a lot harder to get picked off if you're alone. So it does come back to the strength in numbers, the old saying of the strength in numbers, and the accountability there. And speaking of strength, godly friendship offers strength. Friendship rooted and around the theme of uplifting the Lord's name should bring strength. Godly friendship offers strength. If you will look at verse 12 with me. "And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken." Look at that last part. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. So I need the strongest person here to raise their hand. Oh, okay. Would you please come up?
something. I did.
Hey, if she did it, she did it.
Didn't I win the pass it the arm wrestling thing?
He's like, I don't know. I remember doing that.
Awesome. I want you to hold that for me. And then I want you to break this one single cord, okay?
It's a trick.
Just rip it apart and break it.
Why is it not camera?
Hold it together and yank it.
Hey.
Can you do it?
No. No. I didn't win total arm wrestling. It hurts your hands.
It does hurt your hands. All right, someone else. Can someone else? What about you? All right, hold this. Hold this and rip it apart. Oh, man, just yank it. There we go. He got it. Awesome, dude. Awesome. Now stay right there. Stay right there. Stay right there. So check this out. Check this out. Listen. Listen, please. You've got the one cord on its own, right? And it holds up. It's pretty strong, isn't it? It's pretty strong, but it's still broken. It was still broken. Now, I want you to break this one for me because you seem like a really strong guy.
Go, Maddox. Channel soul.
Dude, you got it. You got it. Try it. Come on, one more try. All right, one more person. All right. I want you to break this, okay? All right. Thank you, man. You can have a seat. All right, so... So as we can see from that, the one cord is broken, right? It was strong. It was strong. It was strong, but it was broken in the end, right? And these two fellows up here, they tried to break this one. And you say, okay, look, it's one cord and this one's one cord. What's the difference? Well, let me tell you about paracord. Paracord is one cord. It acts as one. But it's filled with three other cords. Three other cords are inside the one. And those three cords are made up of eight cords. So you have 3 times 8, that's 24 single strands, like this one, and then the outer one. So it's 25 total, 25 single strands acting as one. And you can't break it apart as compared to the one that was still strong on its own over here. I think about... If you've ever seen Nat Geo, you've seen the water buffaloes, right? You know, out in Africa. And you have the one water buffalo and the lions, you know, get around it and they take it away from the group. And guess what? They eat it. And they completely strip it to the bone. They kill it. It's gruesome. It's bloody. But you have the other ones over here who were smart. These water buffalo over here were smart. They stayed in a group. In their group, they were accountable for each other. They said, "Hey, you got my back?" "Yes, sir, I got your back." You know? They were with each other. They were living life together and going through the good and the bad. But the one over here, the one lone wolf, the one lone water buffalo, came to a sad end. And you laugh, but really that's what I'm getting at, is that you can be that way. You can hold out and you can be kind of strong like that strand. He held up to a couple of people pulling it, you know, but at the end he was broken, ripped right in two. But those on this side, you know, the 24, 25 together, they're still not broken, you know. Believers strengthening believers is encouraging them, but also going the extra mile to do life with them. When I think of doing life, I think of Cornerstone's mission statement. The mission statement is sharing Christ, sharing life. And the first part, well, the thing is there's two parts. You can't have one without the two, and you can't have two without the one. So you share Christ, but also you share life with them. A lot of the times we just think about church and spiritual things as up here, you know, and we come to church and we come on Sunday mornings and that's up here, categorized over here. But we're called to live life with each other. We're made for community, and we're called to live life with each other, just like the water buffaloes over here who were safe, and like the 24 single strands of paracord that were a part of the one, living life with each other. So with the sharing Christ and the sharing life, there's the spiritual, the sharing Christ, and the sharing life is more of the physical side of things. Physically, I think about one time when I was hiking too. I don't know why all my near-death experiences are with hiking. Maybe that's a sign. But one time I was hiking, I was walking along like this, and I was like, oh my goodness, what a pretty flower up there in that tree. And I was just looking at it, and then all of a sudden my buddy Will goes, hey, stop! And I was like, what? He says, stop! I said, yeah, I'm stopped. I mean, what? Why are you yelling at me? He said, dude, you need to back up. He said, look. And about this far away from my foot was a rattlesnake posed like this, you know, and he was doing his rattlers and all that, and he was less than a foot away from me. And so I slowly backed up, you know, and I was like, whew. Thank you, Will. Will was looking out for me. That was the doing life part. But spiritually, I think about recently I was in what they call a accountability group. And this group was just a couple guys. It wasn't like a set, you know, Bible study. We didn't sit down every Wednesday night and open our Bibles. But we came together and we bonded over things. We bonded over the life part of it. We talked about, you know, Joe, how's your new job going? Well, how about your girlfriend? You know, and it was we shared life and we shared our experiences and we talked about things, and oftentimes it would go like, you know, how's your boss treating you? Man, it's really rough to deal with him. Would you pray for me about that? Of course we would, and we kept each other accountable. And other times it would go like, man, this week I really messed up. I kept looking up that stuff on my computer I shouldn't have looked up. And I know I shouldn't have looked it up, but I couldn't help myself. And we would say, you know what? That's wrong, you know, but we're here to encourage you. Going back to the first point, we're offering you a safe place to talk about these things because we're your friends, we care about you, and we're here to now strengthen you, you know, through that. And so we would say, obviously, don't do that again. And when you have those desires, you know what? Call us, text us, and we'll send you some scripture that says, hey, don't go into the deeds of the flesh, et cetera, et cetera. And we do things like Journey Group, and we do things like Lyft in my accountability group, not just for this theme of to be better or to, you know, to have more friends or to have a good time and bond over pizza or stuff like that. But we do it because we want to be like Jesus, you know? We don't come together just for the heck of it. We do it because we want to uplift the name of Jesus. And we're all broken vessels trying to be, you know, more like Jesus. We're all the reclaimed worshipers in that. And so if you hear that and you say, dang, I don't have friends like that. I don't have friends who are encouraging. I don't have friends who offer me a safe place to talk about things that maybe I've never talked to anybody about ever before. I don't have anybody who strengthens me. You know, I'm kind of alone. Well, the good thing is that places like tonight, places like Lyft, places like Journey Group, that's where you find those quality people with the same mind who are there just equally as broken as you, but there with the goal to uplift the name of the Lord. And so from that, we can kind of extract a question from that. What type of person are you? Are you a friend who lifts others up when they fall? Like I was lifting up Grant when he fell, you know, physically. Are you there for those that struggle with things and you know, send them an encouraging Bible verse maybe because they've been struggling with maybe looking up things they shouldn't have looked up on their computer? For me, I know that I can always count on Will, that if I'm ever going to step on a snake, he's going to stop me. And Grant has me. If he's ever trying to fall in a ditch, I'm not going to let him, you know. Do you have friends like that? So tonight we see that godly community and godly friendship should bring about three things. And those three things are encouragement, safety, and strength. But they're not separate from each other, you know. Encouragement's not over here, safety is not over here, and strength is not over here. The encouragement should bring about the safe place to talk about things and do things together. And then that safe place should bring about the strength to go out into the world and live the life part of it. They're not separate from each other. They're not three different categories. They all work together. And outside of that, one can kind of ask... Or as we see when it talks about the in verse 11 and 12, if two lie together, they keep warm. It doesn't talk about one and a half people lying together. It talks about two people lying together. Otherwise, you're the one cold and alone, or you're the two together warm. There's no such thing as being halfway there. You're either in godly community or you're not. There's no middleman. And we can kind of think about how that applies into our daily life and life here. You know, you have those people who just come maybe for the games, maybe for the food. Maybe they just come because their parents come or parents tell them to go. But it should be the all for one, one for all kind of mentality. And I would challenge you, as we close out tonight, to think about making the commitment to go to every time, to go to Journey Group and go to the church every time that the doors are open, not out of some legalistic obligation or just because you know your parents told you to, but because you have to invest, you know, to get the community, and you have to be there. If you notice, each of my 3 points is prefaced by the word offers. Godly friendship offers. Godly friendship offers encouragement, offers safety, offers strength. It's not, you know, just, it's here, but you have to accept it. You ever been to a potluck? You know, like where you have a big meal and maybe I would bring the meat and maybe Noah would bring the cheese. Stuff like that, and so everyone brings their one little bit into the meal, and at the end, everyone's kind of bringing something together. They've got all their offers, and they bring something to offer, and it's not only that we should, you know, invest in our group and pour ourselves into it, but that we get something out of it as well. We get the encouragement, the safety, and the strength. So I would challenge you after hearing all this stuff tonight, to kind of check yourself and to reevaluate yourself on this. Are you lifting others up? Are you an encourager? We all bring something to the table. What are you bringing? You know? And last but not least, I just want to drive the point home that one of the major reasons just in my life that I was able to survive middle school and survive high school was with a solid group of friends. And you find those friends, and I've found those friends at nights like tonight at Cornerstone and at Lyft. So I would really challenge you to invest yourself and make a commitment to be there every time that the doors are open. And with that said, would you join me in prayer to close out tonight?